2 Corinthians chapter 13. And then we'll go ahead and stand. We'll have you stand for the reading of God's Word. And while we're standing, we'll read some of the Bible together and to go to some other places. I want you to think this thought, and I mentioned this briefly last week, and this will be our first point. So let me go ahead and have you aware of it so that you'll listen while we're reading. But it's very interesting. Not only we mentioned last week that Paul knew God's people needed prayer, but let me give you this thought, and then we'll read the scripture. When praying for God's people, Paul's request focused on their spiritual development. And I'll talk to you a little bit about this, but it's very interesting as I researched and studied and saw what Paul prayed. He not only told them, I pray for you, he told them what he prayed when he prayed for them. And we're going to look into some of those verses. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 7. Let's read that verse first. 2 Corinthians 13, 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobate. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 8. Philippians 1 and verse number 8. We read this, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So again, he doesn't tell them, I'm just praying for you. He tells them exactly what he prays. Colossians chapter number 1, the next book of the Bible, Colossians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 9. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now let's go, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll read this, and then we'll pray. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, to fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to see, Lord, into the heart, the great heart of the Apostle Paul. Lord, thank you that you not only shared with us in the inspired scriptures the fact that Paul prayed for his people and prayed for God's people, but thank you for, through his example, teaching us a little bit about how to pray for each other. Lord, I thank you again for this great subject of prayer. Lord, thank you for what it's done in my life. Thank you for what it's done to our church, Lord. Thank you for even tonight allowing us to be able to report another amazing answer to prayer, God, where you've just divinely intervened. The heart of the king is in the hand of God, and the heart of the judge is in the hand of God. And Lord, thank you for strengthening our faith by allowing us to see this. Now we want to continue, Lord, and ask God that you'd meet with us in a special way as we learn a little bit more about prayer tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we learned some prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. Let me just remind you what those prayer lessons were. We learned that Paul knew God's people needed prayer. Paul knew God's people needed prayer, and he committed himself to pray for God's people. In Romans, he told the scattered saints that he prays for them. Ephesians, those people that met in Ephesus, and Thessalonica, and even personally, individually, telling Philemon that he prayed for him. Number two, Paul knew he needed the prayers of God's people. So not only did Paul knew God's people needed prayer, Paul knew and realized he needed the prayers of God's people. And he unashamedly, boldly asked God's people to pray for him. Number three, Paul believed in making prayer a priority. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all. Number four, Paul believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8. And number five, Paul believed that prayer was an important part of the spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, that great portion of Scripture on the armor of God. And so now we're going to pick up again on this idea of looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, what his habits were, what's revealed about his prayer life, and also some of his instruction that he gives concerning prayer. And we're going to learn some more prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. Let's start with what we've introduced already, and then we'll move on. Let me give you number six. Number six on the prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. When praying for God's people, Paul's requests focused on their spiritual development. When praying for God's people, Paul's requests focused on their spiritual development. Do you know that if you have a preacher, a pastor, another fellow Christian that is a good friend and has probably a spiritual outlook on life, they'll spend more time praying about your spiritual needs than they will your physical needs. They'll spend more time praying about your spiritual development than your physical development, your spiritual prosperity than your materialistic prosperity. You know, folks, this life comes and this life goes, and you know what? They can stack the coffin full of everything, but you're not going to take anything with you. And what's going to matter when we meet Christ is what we allowed God to do in our lives. And this matter of growing in grace is an important, important thing. I believe that Paul gives us a great example of praying for each other, praying for God's people. And I would pray these things for you, and I would ask that you pray these things for me. Let's get behind each other in this prayer, asking God to allow all of us to grow and go farther than we are in these areas that I've listed. Now let me just, without going back and reviewing every scripture we just read, let me list to you what Paul prayed. And I know I'm summarizing some of these, but let me give you just the basic list. When Paul prayed for God's people, he prayed that they would do no evil. That they would do no evil. You know what? I'd like for you to pray that for me. That's a good prayer request. That would be a good thing for your preacher to pray for you. You know what? We need the prayer support of each other. Say, well, Brother Jerry, if you pray that, it's as if you think that I would do evil. Well, we are all certainly capable of it. Yes, even in our spiritual and sanctified state, we can still do some boneheaded things. You know, I want to be used by God to do good. I don't want to be used by Satan to do evil. And I'll be doggone, as much as I'm determined to do that, if I don't find myself sometime being tricked still, this is, and maybe that's a shame, but still, from time to time, it's amazing what the devil can get even a mature Christian to do and become a tool of evil and a tool in his hand instead of a weapon in God's hand. So I would like you to pray that for me, and I certainly want to pray that for you. I love what he said to the Philippians. He prayed and told them that he prayed specifically that their love may abound more and more. I think that may be one of the most important things to pray for each other. Nobody has grown to the place where we ought to be in the area of love. Our love needs to grow. You know, if you pray for somebody and ask God to increase their love for God, increase their love for the brethren, increase their love for lost souls, increase their love for the Word of God, and ask God to cause wherever they are in their love growth to make it abound more and more. Because we can't love God enough. We can't love the saints enough. We can't love lost souls enough. We can't love this book enough. And all of us need to grow in that. You know, folks, listen. If you know what you're going to pay the most attention to and invest the most time in, that which you love the most. And so that's a great request. He said this, I love this thought. This is a great prayer request for each other. He said to the Philippians, I pray that you would approve things that are excellent. Man, that's a whole sermon right there. You think about that. Approve things that are excellent. What do they mean by the word approve? That means to choose. That means when you have a choice to choose things that are excellent. I like this. He did pray that they wouldn't do evil. But you know what? He did not even pray that they would settle for good. He wanted them to approve when given the opportunity to go beyond just this thought pattern. Boy, let me give you this. This will help you. Too much of us are stuck in this. Well, you know what? There's wrong and there's right. And if there's nothing wrong with it, then I think I ought to be able to do it. Well, now wait a minute. Let me just challenge you to broaden your horizons a little bit. You know, I should be at the point after being saved for as long as I have that I'm not choosing between right and wrong. I'm choosing between good and best and good and excellent. Let me give you something here to help you. Well, Brother Jerry, the Bible's not against it. Well, still, folks, is it helpful? I mean, sometimes you can do something that's not a sin, but it's still not the best thing to do. You know, go farther. Go higher. Go higher. I like this emphasis on excellence. I think you got to get to the point in your Christian life where you're not just trying to say, okay, this is wrong, so I won't do it, and this is, as far as I can tell, not wrong, so I won't. But looking at what you're going to do and say, is it the best decision? Is it the best way to live? Is it excellence? Am I just satisfied with a C when I should be striving for an A? And so that thought, I would like you to pray that for me, and I'd certainly want to pray that for you. And then these requests, let me go through them. Sincerity, that you would be sincere. You know what, folks, that's a great prayer request. Do you know in the Christian life, I don't think we probably preach enough about it, we probably don't say enough about it, but this idea of being sincere, I'm going to tell you, that resonates with people. You know, people know whether or not you're sincere or not. You can go through the motions and not be sincere. You can do something and not be sincere. You can say something and not be sincere. And all of us are guilty of that at times. Just a simple sincerity in our service and in our interaction with other people. You know, I think I mentioned this a while back, but you write letters. And I do. I write a lot of letters. And there's, you know, you've got that salutation at the end. And so for a while, I decided, Brother Joe, that I needed to be spiritual. I'll come up with some spirit. You know, I get these letters from preachers, you know, for His kingdom, you know, and all these fancy, you know, and I come in, and you know what? I kind of went all the way through that and come back to when I write a letter, a personal note to somebody, I put sincerely, Pastor Jerry, because, and then I look back over and I use that word to make sure that what I've written is sincere, that I'm not trying to manipulate somebody, that I'm not trying to, that there's not any false motive, that it's from a pure heart. You know, everything that you do for the Lord, you ought to be able to sign at the end of that duty, at the end of that job, at the end of that effort, sincerity. It may not be perfection, but it can be sincere. It may not be without human fault, but it can be sincere. And you know what I found out? People will be very lenient with you and forgiving of you and cut you a lot of slack, even if you don't do as, you know, perfectly. If you mess up, if they sense a sincerity in what you're doing for the Lord. So that was his prayer request, that you would be without offense. That word offense means has the idea of causing someone else to stumble. I want to be sincere in what I do, but I also want to do what I do without causing another brother or sister to stumble. And so he said, I pray that for you. And then he says this, that you would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And that's what he gives as a list of the church of Philippians there, of Philippi. Then in the book of Colossians, let me give you these. He prays. You think about these prayer requests. When he prayed for the people there in the church of Colossae, he said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Man, you want to pray that for me, please? I'll pray that for you. There's a lot of times I come under things all the time where I'm trying to discern just what is the will of God. Somebody told me the other day, if you can figure out the will of God, everything else, it answers every other question. Isn't that true? And sometimes it's just, God, what is your will? And if you can decide that, everything else falls into place. So here he said that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that we would walk worthy of the Lord. What a great request. Man, pray that for me. That would be great. That as I go through every day, I would walk worthy of the Lord. I'd walk worthy of the Lord. Be fruitful in every good work. Increase in the knowledge of God. Now, talking about the knowledge of God, that's not talking about God's knowledge. That's talking about the knowledge of Him. That's talking about seeking His face. That's becoming more knowledgeable concerning the God that we serve. Strengthened with all spiritual might. Wholly sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. Wow, that's neat. And then the last two I'll give you comes out of 2 Thessalonians. He prayed for these Christians that they would be, please count them worthy of their calling, and that the name of the Lord Jesus would be glorified in everything that they do and say. Man, great prayer request. Now, if I was to take this, let me just illustrate this for you. If I was to take this list and pray it, and I was praying for our church members, let's say I was praying, you sat in the bad seat, buddy, you got picked. But I was praying for Brother Jesse here, and I was to bow my head, and I was to look at his name on my list of people in our church that I pray for, and I was to pray like this. Lord, I want to take a minute and pray for Jesse McCammon. Lord, I want to ask God, please, that your love may abound more and more in him. Lord, that he wouldn't be satisfied with mediocre, but he would approve and choose the things that are excellent in your sight. Help him to be sincere. God, as he lives for you, help him not to cause others to stumble. Lord, fill him with the fruits of righteousness. God, he's a young man. Please fill him with the knowledge of your will. God, he's seeking your will concerning his life, a Bible college. Lord, help him to walk today worthy of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd give him opportunities to be fruitful in every good work. And Lord, may he increase in his knowledge of you as he seeks your faith. Lord, strengthen him today with all spiritual might. Lord, I pray that you would sanctify him in his body, in his soul, in his spirit. Lord, please count him worthy of his calling. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that the name of the Lord Jesus would be glorified in everything he does and says. I don't know about you, but if you pray that prayer for me, amen. Thank you so very much. Now, I'm going to talk to you when I get to the end of this, so I'm not going to steal that last point that Paul's going to teach us. But folks, can I say this? Just a little precursor to it. That's spiritual praying. I think there's too much carnal praying. And you can pray carnally and you can pray spiritually, just so, like you can go soul winning carnally and soul winning spiritually and preach carnally and preach spiritually. And I'll explain a little bit more of what I say about that. But you know what Paul was worried about? He did. Where's the request about the new car? Where's the request about the promotion? Where's the request about some of the things that so captivate us on this earthly plane and this earthly level? You know what? If we get our spiritual life right, you know what? All those things are going to take care of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's get back to making the spiritual things the most important things. And so that's what I learned from studying the Apostle Paul and his prayer life. Number two, let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. And I'll just give you this one. We'll hit it and run. But this is a reminder. This is something that I think you know anyway. But let's see if we can put this into practice in the next 24 hours. Let's take this and put it into practice all the rest of this evening, all day tomorrow. Let's make this a part of what we do. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, we see this. Let me read 5 and 6. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number two, more lessons, prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. Number one, when praying for God's people, Paul's request focused on their spiritual development. Number two, Paul believed in praying about everything. Everything. He noticed this. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I believe if we followed the Apostle Paul around, we'd be astounded at the things that he stopped and prayed about. If we could just get this whole idea that everything is going to go better, every single event of the day, every project, every job, everything we put our hands on, everything that we start, if we would really become convinced that that is going to go better and we're going to make less mistakes, and we're going to stay closer to the will of God if we would pray about everything. You see, I did mention a minute ago, and I do think that spiritual things ought to be the priority prayer request, but I'm also glad that God said pray about everything. Pray about everything. If it's time to fix a meal, housewives, let me talk to you. It's time to fix a meal. Why don't you pray? And just say, Lord, you know what? It's time for me to fix a meal with my family. And Lord, I want to please my husband. I want to please my children. I want them to enjoy it. God, just help me to do a good job on this. You know, if you make this a way of life, pretty soon, every little thing that you're doing, you're praying about before you start it. Now, here's a little assignment if you want to try it. How about tomorrow do that, and then Thursday don't do that? And then you call me Friday and tell me which day was the best. Here's something I say to people often. I say, if you add God to something, include God in something, is it going to be better or worse? If you subtract God from something, is it going to be better or worse? That's my argument for Christian school, by the way, too. And you just put God in something, it's got to be better. You take God out of something, it's going to be worse. I mean, folks, that's a no-brainer. So, now let's bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. That's fine on one decision of life, but what about everything that we do? Everything that we do. Do you think this sermon is going to be better if I spent time praying before I start preparing, or worse if I didn't? I mean, it's anything. It's everything. So here's something. Let me talk to you students a minute. If I could get every student that's going to show up on whatever day we finally start school, October, November, December, I have no idea anymore, you know. I like just setting these dates hoping that we'll hit them, you know. But whatever day we, you know, I'm telling you, I could revolutionize your experience. I could. We do, when we teach this, but we can't make them do this, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't. This is some of those things where you're either going to decide to do, and you're going to find out life's better, or you're going to be a stubborn head, and you're just going to struggle a lot. But you know, you've got a goal, you've got a certain number of paces, you've got a certain number of things. When you pick that math face up, if you would just bow your head and say, Lord, now it's time for me to do my math face. Listen, if you ever need prayer, that's it. That's the time. Man, pick up the math face, start praying. Matter of fact, get on your face, wail, weep, you know, gnash your teeth, touch yourself, sackcloth, okay. But no, don't do that. But just pray. Lord, there's some things I need to accomplish today. I don't want to just finish my work. I want to learn what you want me to learn today. So God, I pray that you clear my mind, give me focus, help me to learn, help me to accomplish this goal. I guarantee you the student, now you can sit there and say, oh, well, folks, it is a Christian school. I mean, what we're trying to do is prepare you for real life. If you go ahead and do that, or if you don't do that, you know, I can guarantee you, you're going to have a lot easier time getting your studies done with God helping you than you going forward as if you don't need the help of God. And the little things. I'm talking about men when we're at work and you've got a project. You pick up something that you're going to work on the mill, or you're going to use your, you know, every project. Lord, you know what? My boss in this place has given me a good place to work. Lord, this is how I make my living. I want to do the very best. I want this job that I do. You know, that whatsoever that we read in the Bible, whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. Lord, when people see the quality of my work, I want to reflect my commitment, my dedication to you. I want people to see through my work habits that I honor the Lord. And then you start that project, and you do that on everything you do for an entire day, and the next day just do it in your power. And then call me up and tell me how things go. Now, I think we all know this. By the way, don't all call me. Please don't call me. But yeah. And boy, that's just a great secret of life. Just stop and pray. Paul believed that. He believed in praying about everything. Now, go to Romans chapter 10. Let's go there next. Romans chapter 10. I'll show you something else that was, I think, a constant, consistent prayer burden on the heart of the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 10. And I think that there's already many people in this room that do this, but let me encourage you. to keep doing it. Let me challenge you to begin to do it if you don't. But we see here that Paul prayed for his country. Paul prayed for his country. You know, Paul was a patriot. He was patriotic. There's nothing wrong with that. If I was an Israelite and my country is Israel, I ought to be fiercely loyal to that country. And that's what he did. Notice this, what he said here. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They might be saved. You know what? I don't know how many Israelites were praying for the salvation of Israel on this day, but I know one that was. Paul carried a burden for his country. If you're on the same page, you may be, but Romans chapter 9, we see the depth of this. It's a remarkable portion of Scripture. We're not going to teach through it, but let me just read it, and it always astounds me to read this. Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience awfully bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman according to the flesh. You know what? He had a great burden to see his countrymen saved. He had a burden for his country. Folks, I think all of us feel this same way. Boy, if America ever needs prayer, it needs it now. You know, we see this looming election. We see with great discouragement of heart what has made its way to the top of the choices of the leader of our country. But it's just not our presidential race. It is all races. We need prayer in the placement of the proper judges. We need prayer in the local elections, the proper councilman right here in Jasonville and Linton. We need prayer on a state level. And we need to just pray for America. Just pray for America. Try to use triggers, things that you see that will help you to remember to pray for America. And I do this with a lot of things. As I'm just observing things, there are certain things that trigger me to pray for our country. You know, there's a lot of American flags. Thank God there is. We live in a time where people are starting to display the American flag proudly. And anytime I see an American flag, I use that as a trigger to help me to remember to pray for America, to pray for America. And so just whatever it takes. But let's carry the prayer burden. We need prayers for our country right now. And as you're praying, pray for our military. My goodness sakes, pray for our soldiers. Don't forget our soldiers. Don't forget our soldiers. I carry that as a personal burden on my heart. I want to pray for all of our soldiers. I want to pray especially for those that are in combat situations and dangerous situations scattered across our world. Now, you know, here'd be a terrible thing. And it's not a bad thing, but I pray through our missionary list. And when I do, I pray not only for that missionary, I pray for that country. I'd hate to think that as an American, I'm sorry, but I'm still patriotic. I hate to think as an American I spent more time praying for foreign countries than I did my own country. I just think as an American, we ought to be burdened about America. And, you know, I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And that's my country, and I want to pray for it. And Paul, his country was Israel. He had a burden for his kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, let me finish up with this thought, and we'll go to Ephesians chapter number 6. More prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter number 6. We read this verse last week. I want to draw something out of it that we didn't mention and then talk to you a little bit about this in closing. More prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. When praying for God's people, Paul's request focused on their spiritual development. Number 2, Paul believed in praying about everything. Number 3, Paul prayed for his country and his countrymen, the salvation of his countrymen. And then number 4, let me just give you this little thought. Paul knew what it was. Boy, this is something, man alive. I want to take my shoes off my feet. Paul knew what it was to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit. I'm going to explain just for a few minutes a little bit about what that is. It's not a spooky thing. It's not a charismatic thing. But I want to explain what it is. Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now don't miss this next phrase. Very important. In the capital S, Spirit. In the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I look up here, and without me reteaching it, let me challenge you, if you didn't hear it or you don't remember it, to get it. But we taught in one of our sermons, one of our messages on prayer, we taught on the importance, I think two different sermons, part one and part two, the importance of praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now let me give you this, because this is really neat. You know, to get filled with the Spirit, in order to be filled with the Spirit, you need to pray to be filled with the Spirit. And there is a lesson and a thing that we spent 2 weeks covering, and I think that it's important. I don't think we worry enough about this. I don't think we're concerned enough about this. But every single Christian ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. Or you can just be possessed by the Spirit of God. You can have the Spirit of God, and He never leaves you. But, you know, it's not a matter of us getting more of the Spirit. It's a matter of Him getting more of us. The surrendering to the control of the Spirit of God in our life. Now, watch this. Part of the process of being filled with the Spirit is praying for the fullness of the Spirit. Now, think about this. Once you've been filled with the Spirit, you can then pray in the fullness of the Spirit. You pray for the fullness of the Spirit. Then when you're filled, you can pray in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look here and listen. I have prayed without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and I've prayed in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's no different than anything else. You preach in the fullness of the Spirit, and I guarantee you, spiritual things happen. If you preach in the flesh, fleshly things happen, carnal things happen. You can do either or. Well, if we believe that, if you go soul winning in the power of the flesh, as opposed to spending some time as they did and gave us the example in Acts 1 and verse 1 and 2. That's why I spent time on that. That is such an important doctrine that Jesus said, you know, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that's not the whole Great Commission. He said also in that same, at that same location when he was given that same instruction, go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. What were they going for? They were waiting so that they could spend some time praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and they could be filled with the Holy Spirit so they could go out and evangelize in power. Now, if you're going to go soul winning, you can go in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know what you'll see? Spiritual things happen. Or you can go in the power of the flesh, and you know what you'll probably see? Not much happen. And if it does, it'll be the, you know, the carnal results of carnal effort. I mean, folks, in the flesh dwells no good thing. I mean, anything that's done in the flesh pretty much falls flat on its face. It just has no eternal value. Now, we all know those things and we all believe those things. Here's something else. If that's true about preaching, and that's true about sewing, and that's true about teaching your Sunday school class, and that's true about singing a special, and that's true about playing the piano, and that's true about, you just list it, wouldn't it certainly be true about prayer? Let me have you quickly go to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. I want to show you a great advantage of praying in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Boy, this is good. This is the difference between praying in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and praying without the help of the Holy Spirit. There is some added bonuses, but let me just read this verse. Likewise, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, so we know we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, a member of the triune God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me remind you of something. Since the Holy Spirit is God, He knows the will of God. And there's a lot of times when I'm praying, I don't know what to pray or how to pray about a certain situation. I don't know. Now, if I pray without the involvement of the Holy Spirit in my prayer life, if I'm praying, and you know what? I've grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit in my life, all I can do is just take a shot in the dark and guess what I think ought to be prayed, and you know what, I'll probably be wrong if I'm in that situation, if I'm that carnal anyway. Or I can say, you know what, before I pray, I want to spend a few minutes. Folks, I'm not talking about something spooky here. I'm talking about before we pray, spend some time making sure that we empty ourselves of self, that we confess our sins, that we surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit. Ask for His help while we pray. Ask for His leading while we pray. And say, Holy Spirit of God, there's going to come times while I'm praying that I don't know what to pray, but You know what is the will of God. Would You please intercede for me? Would You please tell God what I ought to pray, even if I don't pray what I ought to pray? You veto anything that I say, and I want Your help to guide me and lead me as I pray. And you pray in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, you get in the habit of doing that, you won't want to pray without the Holy Spirit of God. And so that's exciting. That's one of the things that Paul practiced in his life. Wow, I tell you what, it was worth following the Apostle Paul around for a while. I don't know about you, but I learned some things about prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that You would bless what we've taught, and Lord, that You'd fasten these things to our heart. God, it's not just a matter of praying. That's a great step. That's a big step. That's a huge step just to begin to pray. But Lord, as we pray, help us to study the Bible and to learn how to pray, what to pray. Direct us, Lord. Help us to mature in our prayer life as we would mature in any other area of our Christian life. Help us to continue in this growth process even as we pray. And that, Lord, I'd ask that You'd help us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for indwelling us. Thank You for being there as our tutor as we study the Bible, to give us comfort as we go through the sorrows and heartaches of life, to be that rebuker, that convictor when we so often need that. But, Lord, also we want to thank You, dear Holy Spirit, of just being our prayer partner and just being willing to join in with us, partner with us during those times when we approach the throne of grace. And helping us to pray, helping us to know what to pray. And when we don't know, making intercessions for us so that the proper thing is prayed and requested of the Father. And thank You for allowing us and helping us to get our prayers answered. And so we thank You, Holy Spirit, for being that great vehicle that transports us to the throne of the Father so that we can address the Father in the name of the Son. And to help us to learn to pray in that way, in Jesus' name, amen.